live from Zach Angeli Brewing Company.
Launch party coming near you.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode number 9.
We've got to be getting near the end of this season.
Fresh
Have we ever had a season that was 9 episodes long?
We don't talk about that.
I don't know, man.
Nobody knows how many episodes we've done.
The number one rule of the Fresh Pinball Podcast is you don't talk about the Fresh Pinball Podcast. So,
unless you're doing the Fresh Pinball Podcast.
Right, then you can talk about it.
Okay, fair enough.
To my right on the board, we have Kyle. Kyle, how we doing, buddy?
I'm flipping fantastic.
Yes! And to Kyle's right, across the table from him, we have Zach Angeli holding some fresh off the 3D printer, 3D printed flipper bat keychains.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
How's the 3D printing lifestyle going for you?
It's fun. It's dangerous.
It seems like it would be
Once
dangerous.
Once you start, you can't stop.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
It's like them Pringles.
Mm. Pringles all over again.
Also, you know, up to 18 pinballs now, you know?
Oh my God.
Fresh pinball today.
18 pinballs here?
Yeah.
So finally, after many, many weeks of all of our customers getting their X-Men LEs and
all
their
kinds
X-Men
today,
Pros,
unboxing them,
X-Men.
Setting them up.
Yeah, premiums today. Finally, we unboxed Corbin's X-Men premium. And Corbin?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's good.
It's real good.
It's good. As we were unboxing one earlier, I was looking at it, and I'm like, man, I really haven't even gotten a chance to take this in and look at it yet. But it's a fun game. It's fast. We have it actually. We're lucky we have it set up next to Foo Fighters right now. So
as it's meant to be.
Would you call that a double danger situation?
It is. Double danger. Most enjoyable. They both fun games. So, yeah.
All right, let's kick this episode off then with a quick fact check, because we're actually not far from our last recording, so not a ton of feedback on the last one yet.
Factual with what we said.
Yeah, one of the questions that was asked, what were some of the flyers that we brought back from Pinball Expo? So you mentioned on the last one that you were trying to get those back from either Phil or Keith.
Keith has them. He said he has them.
You've not obtained them again?
No, I haven't gotten them yet.
Wow.
He's slippery.
We just saw him the other night, too.
He's at SEMA.
We did, but he was on his way back from the lake, and he stopped at Tanks, and so, we're going to have to, I think, go over there to get him, is my thing.
Well, I know Safecracker was in there.
I know they're safe with him, but...
Is there a Corvette?
Yeah, fast break.
Definitely Safecracker, because remember, it was thick, and it had, like, a part in the front that we were going to peel back, so
yes.
I'm kind of waiting to do that.
Junkyard?
Junkyard was in there. I think No Good Gophers. I'm pretty sure I saw one for No Good Gophers. Doctor Who, I want to say. We might already have that one.
Try and remember the rest.
Yeah. Once we get them back,
I can't wait
Keith,
to get them.
We'll go through and reconfirm.
We should go through those, and we should go through the other ones, some of them.
Go through your binder.
Some funny ones.
Yeah, so No Good Gophers today as part of our... runnings abouts and the ins and the outs. Someone that was getting an X-Men premium was partially trading in as their part of their purchase at No Good Gophers. So
yeah.
You kindly said, hey, I don't have any room at my house for this, and Zach's barcade is full up. So if you want to have this for a little while, go ahead and have your time with it. And I'm pretty excited to get in there. And
have you played it yet?
I didn't.
You haven't had a chance to revisit it?
No.
Maybe later.
Yeah, probably later tonight after I leave here. I'll put a few games on it and see what's what. Get in there and...
get a proper water in you.
Oh, obviously. I mean, come on.
Change it to 5-ball like he likes it.
So that was the first one. All right, so this one threw me off a little bit. So we talked about, while we were in Chicago, Pequod's Pizza. And I was told via messenger that Pequod's isn't Chicago style pizza.
So then what is it?
That's the question.
We are in Chicago, so God, it's like a Chicago style pizza.
This whole
pizza.
Time we think we're like they're eating Chicago style pizza, and apparently it's not.
So what is it then?
I'm pretty sure I'm
so
surprised.
What do you guys define as, like, obviously, like Lou Malinotti's, Giordano's, those sort of places are like the classic,
like a deep dish
Chicago,
right?
They do deep too dish quick? Pie
is it because they're too quick about it sometimes?
It's
other times we've eaten there, though, it has taken the longer.
when we ate at the one that was downtown, it was definitely
a long classic wait. Like 45 minutes, 55 minutes, you know, easily.
Yes.
For your pizza. But this one last time was like the speedy version.
I thought it was the speedy version. I mean,
was it just a bar?
It was
pie?
Still delicious.
I was asleep in the car, by the way.
Oh, okay. But, I can't have an opinion on this.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
That's true.
Time.
It was quicker.
We've been to Chicago.
I don't necessarily take you to a Chicago style pizza.
But Peace is amazing too.
I'm pretty sure. See, the reason I would think it was is because the first time I ever went there was with Tank and Angelica, and Angelica found it, and she was on a mission to find somewhere that had like she wanted to get her Chicago style pizza. And so I'm not questioning this person. I just remember the first time that we went, that was the reason. And Angelica's like a real like. She does the TripAdvisor stuff and like gets all the guides and all that. So she was like dead set on finding a place that had Chicago style pizza and served beer, and it had to be open before noon or whatever. So
is this person a Chicago person?
It wasn't.
Then I don't know if I can trust her opinion.
I'm gonna have to get more information. I guess what do they define that as?
I guess what are the differences? We need to know what the parameters are of what the Chicago.
So for me personally, I think it's Chicago style, but I also consider it just a thick crust pizza.
Okay.
It's not necessarily the traditional pizza pie that you think of when you think of Chicago style, which I'm not opposed to it one way or the other. It's
like a different version of Chicago pizza.
Yeah. It's a staple. I mean, whenever you Google or TripAdvise or whatever, you know, best pizza places in Chicago, it's typically in the top five.
And
so,
I mean, the pizza is really good.
Yeah, delicious.
This is like the same conversation.
I mean, everybody can agree that it's better than that Schitzburg pizza where they don't melt the fucking cheese. Oh, it's disgusting. It's just not good.
What Corbin and I were up in, so they
here's
have
a
that,
piece of bread with some cheese on it.
You're talking about that, like the place in Medina?
Yeah, well, Ohio Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of a fan. I don't know. Don't I don't.
Worry. I didn't mind it.
I don't hate on. I like all pizzas. So. Yeah.
Well, I do too, but not. Stuff
not your favorite.
It's kind of like a Lunchables kind of deal.
Well,
it is.
Ours is better than Lunchables, and it wasn't from Schitzburg. That was the difference too.
Mm.
You see, up in Medina, these guys, it's a little more of a class act, I'd imagine. I haven't been to the Schitzburg place, but I'm just guessing.
Is it like what's the place where they put French fries on everything?
Oh God,
Permane Brothers.
That's what it is. You get a salad, you get some French fries. You get a hamburger, you get some French fries.
Yeah, I don't know. The inner place, that's fine. Never does it for me though.
You get some French fries. They put French fries.
I got another
on top.
Food question for you guys.
Oh boy.
So mac and cheese. What do you define as? Hold on. What do you define as? What do you define as mac and cheese? Like, does it have to be a certain way? Does it have to have a certain style of noodle? Like, what's the...
Traditionally, for me, it's an elbow noodle.
So if it comes out and it's like a shell or if it's a...
Do you get mad if
it's
not?
Spiral? Like, is that an issue?
Would you demand to see the man?
I think you guys have been around me enough to know that, like, I'm pretty...
I'm just curious.
You bring me some food.
We met somebody who got mad that it wasn't an elbow noodle and it was being called macaroni and cheese.
Yeah,
so
like,
was
it...
So I feel like it was Max or Ollie?
No,
otherwise,
no. I feel like it's like a. I watch those like, kids eat noodles off the floor. Okay, they really don't care.
I feel like it's a case of like state different identity. Like we all call it a Kleenex, even though it's a tissue.
Right.
You know? Like we call it by the brand name.
Duct so tape. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not
Band-Aid.
Necessarily made. Yeah, Band-Aid is a bandage. You know. It's the same thing. Like, I think it's a blanket.
So it's still mac and cheese,
for me,
even if it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
elbow
it's
macaroni.
It's still mac and cheese.
Still
if there's noodle and cheese involved, it's mac and cheese.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just wondering. Yeah. Just curious.
You know, it's not Kraft mac and cheese.
No.
But
Velveeta.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
still
Shells
mac
and cheese.
Cheese.
I don't, yeah, it doesn't
still,
matter.
Still mac and cheese.
Okay. That's all I want.
Give me fucking tortellini with cheese on it. I'll eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever,
I mean,
dude. We're absolutely. On the subject of mac and cheese here. Do you guys ever put vegetables in with your mac and cheese?
No.
I'm a big fan. I know Zach. Broccoli's good. I love some broccoli.
How about like brisket in your mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Whole
pork?
How about both?
My sister-in-law does an amazing one with a pretzel crust on top.
I'm listening.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
What's on the inside, though?
Brussels sprouts.
No, vegetables. It's like more traditional mac and cheese
me.
And then with a pretzel crust
bullshit,
on the top.
Not again.
It's very, not again. How dare you do this to me?
I fooled you once, Zach. I'll fool you twice.
Game on.
All right, our third of four fact-checked items here would be people love pulling, like, no matter what I say, people think I say it too much, so then I'll pivot to some other crutch word that I use too much. So apparently recently I've been saying absolutely a lot again and then saying whatnot.
Jim said absolutely.
There it is. Mm-hmm. So apparently when I'm trying to not use absolutely, I'll use...
Jeff said absolutely.
I'll use whatnot instead, so...
Whatnot, absolutely.
Hmm. Yeah, the Jeff vocabulary police, keep on keeping on there.
Next time I'm on this board, I'll record some new ones for you.
You guys get in front of these microphones and see if you don't repeat the same words over and over. Let me see your podcast.
I don't think anybody else has any words that the rest of us say over and over again.
It's just me.
Darn it. I'm talking about your example. But... There probably are. I don't know. Yeah.
And then the final item in the fact check, and this is not totally a fact check item. I had a few messages that their new favorite segment is Trailer Talk with Corbin. So
I was thinking about that today.
Dude, we're running out of things. I mean, there's only so much trailers.
Here we are. Let's go to everyone's favorite new segment, Trailer Talk with Corbin.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How's it going? Oh, Tank, hold on. Quiet down, bud. Quiet down.
Tank's not been here for a recording for a while.
I texted him today.
Ziggy's sleeping on the couch.
He said he had to close.
Man. He must be vibing up for all that dad duty he's about to be.
He's about to be a busy boy.
He's busy.
All right,
busy.
So we were pulling the trailer today.
Yeah, you know, I say so since last time we talked, I'd say probably pulled it about, I don't know, 6, 7 times, 8 times maybe.
So you've put some miles on it and improvements and upgrades since
I checked the lug torques. Definitely checked those the other day, and I swept it out.
Ooh. Did you happen to leaf blow it while someone was inside?
Oh my God. Yeah, only when you're in there. I did do that today. Pushed you in and no, I did not.
No?
Not while you were in there.
Okay, that's fair.
But no, I did. I cleaned it. I swept it out.
Are we still rolling open wheel on one
side?
Yeah,
we're still rat rod. Okay. I just haven't had a chance, and there's been these big ass signs now in the way. Like, I gotta back it into the other section.
Dude. So let's talk about the Stern Pinball Alley signs that came in the other day.
Dude, these are big.
Are they? Did you guys unbox one?
Massive.
They like the size of like the box is the size of the bed, like inside the wheel wells
of the big truck
of the, you know, of like an 8 foot
damn
full size Chevy.
Yeah, so we took the...
This wasn't somebody saying like the dimensions, like
I have the dimensions actually. I
They're
measured
fucking
the box,
huge, aren't they?
Yeah, it's enormous. And I think part of it too was that it was in centimeters and kilograms, so people were then were like, oh well. It's not centimeters, it's inches. And it's like, well, no, it's actually much bigger.
Okay, so yeah, the box is 94 inches long, which is almost 8 feet, like 7.
Yeah.
So it's 94 inches long. It's 42 inches wide, and it's 10 inches tall.
Yeah. Damn.
That's a big box.
For one.
For one, yeah. And so they came on a pallet of 3, but it's like, how are we going to...
So they took 2 full-size pallets and ran 2x4s down and them and screwed them together.
Damn.
And so then now the challenge is, how are we going to ship these other two with, I mean, are we going to just have to put them on their own big ass individual pallets?
I would assume.
We're just going to have to roll down to North Carolina real quick and
deliver
them.
Reach out to a couple other dealers and see how they're shipping them. Because there has to be something that's in between retail and freight.
Yeah.
Something in the middle.
I think the challenge is just that nobody wants to move it without like the forklift.
I'm going to jump top.
Is it even heavy? Yeah, is it heavy at all?
No.
No, I wouldn't assume.
No, I mean, 50 pounds? Maybe?
The total weight for 3 of them with the pallet
was 300.
Was like 310, I want to say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but it had to be mostly wood because once we took them off, like, Jeff and I could easily, like, I think you moved them by yourself. I did. Like,
Corbin was on the roof leaf blowing gutters, and I'm like, oh, I'll be productive down here and do
right
something
into
else.
Your face.
Yeah, I was like, Jeff's under. As I'm. He was putting something in his car, and I'm just like, yes.
He's under the awning, peeing against the building. Now's my chance to get him. So talking about shipping things, on the last episode, we briefly talked about cargo ships, and I said that I think we should buy one.
Oh, yeah.
So I went on to petronav.net, where they sell cargo ships.
Oh, is that your premier trading place for cargo ships?
How much?
Ships?
So I'm going to go around the table. And I'm going to say a 2008 cargo ship.
Oh, that's way too fucking new.
08, okay.
Dude, how many
miles?
Like the most
nautical miles?
I mean, miles.
How do they measure ships? Is it hours? Is it miles?
It's got to be a little bit of both.
It's got to be hours. Okay. And it's got to be, like, how many cargo shipping containers can you fit on your cargo ship?
Well, that's obviously
ship.
Big. I mean, we don't need, I mean.
Let's just say this is a standard cargo ship.
So how many containers can you fit on it?
Let's just say it's a standard.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, is it
what
is
kind
it
of,
four?
What kind of return on this 20? Can I see? How many am I going to haul with our, we got to run a couple how many others can we throw in to make
it's
some money?
It's a 2008, off? Corbin.
All right, let me look. Keep talking. I'm going to look some facts on that.
Kyle, how much do you think a standard size cargo ship?
I want to know what the fuck a standard size cargo ship is.
And this is like in working condition.
Are we talking like running good condition here?
Ready to go down the road.
I'm not gonna work, you know, 6 months on this.
You're
before
gonna
it goes
get
out.
Into the cargo I mean, how ship. Many, and you're gonna
what's
right
max?
Down the road.
Does it LBs come with a crew? How does this work?
You guys have way more questions than I have answers.
Yeah. Do we have a
do we have to learn how to sail this thing?
Oh,
this
is man. I don't. I'm not ready to be a first mate, and I get really, really seasick.
$400,000.
Okay.
Oh, Kyle would be so seasick.
Zach's guess
I'm not coming, useful. Guys.
Is $400,000 on this? Kyle, are you going to go higher than $400,000?
I'm going to go $1.8 million.
Okay, $1.8 million.
It's a lot of. I don't think they're going to be cheap.
$19 million.
Jesus. That's why I said we need one from like the 40s, not one in 2008.
It needs
that's
to
way
literally be a steamship.
Yes, yes.
Feeding coal into it.
Yeah, no shit.
And, that's our price range.
Yeah.
And upon further inspection, if we ever needed to take our cargo ship through the Panama Canal,
that's pricey. Money.
It's like $100K for to go one way through the Panama
well, that's
Canal.
That's why I need to know. But how did many, that's why
actually,
I need to
know how many
containers?
Because
yeah, then I know because you might be able to have enough containers on there that $100K. You're like, yeah, here, take it, buddy. Sounds good.
All right, maybe my dive wasn't quite deep enough into this. I thought like if I got
next
you,
week on. Container talk.
I mean, does it come with like a whole
we're
like
starting segments
a crew for the galley and everything making us dinners and
yeah,
shit
it
or?
Comes with
dude I assume
the $19 million just gets you the ship, that's it.
No crew,
no anything else, and no warranty is
it down.
No warranty is conveyed with the ship. It's what, just the ship.
What if we put their Stern logo on it? Will they give us what have we got?
Advertisement.
Get a little rebate.
What do we got? Two year or one year?
You're gonna appreciate that stuff,
hour?
I think. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
No, it's an advertisement but, now,
right? That's what I'm saying. Just put like Captain Gary up there and shit.
Captain Gary.
What do, you could definitely subcontract out to all these smaller companies and be like, yeah, hey, we're
the
sailing.
Pinball cruise. This is where it could be half off. Cruise ship too. We put a bunch of pinballs on it.
Oh my god!
Boom, done. Dude,
but this? The problem is that this cruise is 14 months.
You're just stuck on this ship with us.
You actually are part of the crew now. You thought it was just going to be leisure, but now you're down there shoveling coal.
I bet we could get those guys who did the
to the latrine, son of a.
I bet we could get them to go in on this.
I think, I mean, Jason Knapp was doing the whole tracking what containers were coming in and how often they were for the pinball manufacturers. So if we got American and JJP and Stern, and we're bringing in, you know, I'm sure Rob Burke is bringing in enough containers to keep our ship full all by itself. Right. So we have some opportunities here.
And Pinball
right.
Brothers.
Pull the trigger. Let's get it coming.
We can get some Lebowski's moving real quick.
I'm going to need the Mad Pinball credit card, Corbin. we're going to need to up the limit so I can get this cargo ship, all right?
Any more facts. That's all I need. Just need some facts.
So final item here I have before we get into the meat of this episode is Eric Durheimer sent me some pictures. He and his family were up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this weekend, and I knew there were pinball machines there on occasion for different exhibits and different things, and he sent me a picture of an AC/DC Pro and a few...
Pro. Yeah. At the Hall of Fame.
I know. But the question sorry, in my so. Mind was...
Means professional, Corbin.
Are those does the Hall of Fame own those games?
No, there was his names.
Are those Cadillac? Keith's?
No, I think
Campanelli.
I think it's Cadillac normally.
Oh, is it
no,
Cadillac?
Or no? Who does is it not Don Johnson?
Oh, okay. It possibly could be.
I thought it was one of those guys up in Cleveland.
Okay.
Somebody told me who it was, and they're
Well, yeah, it is it is. I mean, they're one of those, that situation. But they said they're all on free play in there, so you pay your admission, and while you're in there, you can play some free pinball.
Dude, we should see if they want us to sponsor some. Throw a couple
just
of
AC/DC? Is that all they have?
No, there were two other games that he sent me pictures of as well, but AC/DC stuck out in my mind because when it's the pro, it doesn't have that lower play field.
His face.
So you have Angus's like, enormous face right in the middle of the play field.
Yeah.
But I know when I'd been up there before, they'd had the original Bally Kiss machine up there at one time, an Iron Maiden Pro, the newer, you know, Stern version.
You mean Archer?
Yeah, exactly. The Keith Elwin classic. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, I'll have to do some asking around to see if those are Don's games or who they are. quarter up Halloween party. So we had that this past Monday.
Yeah.
Three of the four of us were made it up there. Zach was on dad duty, so he wasn't able to partake in the festivities, but it was a good turnout. I think there were over 25 people who played in the Monday tournament, and then there were 30 to 35, you know, total people who were just hanging out in costumes and having a good time with the whole vibe of the night. Some of my favorite costumes that I saw that night, my probably top one was tournament director Ben wearing...
Dude, his costume was awesome. It was awesome.
Right.
I was trying to explain it. It's like, if you don't know what he looks like,
yeah,
it would make no sense.
But he was the neighbor.
So the movie from Home Alone.
Yeah.
The movie Home Alone, the neighbor that...
Has the trash can.
The old man.
And the old man that Macaulay Culkin is scared of the entire time. Yeah. That's how he dressed up as, but he carried around the snow shovel and had the long jacket on and the snow boots. Like, literally, he walked in, and I'm like, that's the guy.
He's a very tall, slanky guy.
And he has, the beard
and everything.
He looks just
like him. Yeah, it's great.
He nailed it.
So then my runner-up costume was Corbin. He walked in full Cousin It regalia. I mean, he was hairy from head to toe. It was...
I love that people, I was standing around talking and people did not realize it was me.
Oh, there's no way.
Yeah, I was like, this is awesome.
So talk about that costume. Where did it come from?
So I ended up getting it we went to an Addams Family murder mystery dinner thing. Ooh. Yeah, and it was costume optional. So I, of course, was like, I'm going. So I got that Cousin It costume, and I wore it there, and I wore it all night. And I'd say it was like a 80-20, 85-15% people didn't have costumes to did.
So you were part of the 15% that did wear a costume.
Yeah, it was pretty slim.
So costumes. You were there with Anna.
Yeah,
did Anna wear a costume?
No.
Come on!
She was going to be thing and, you know, wear all black and have her hand come out of a box. But then I don't know what happened. She didn't do it. So I was like, well, I'm committing. So I did not take the hair off all night. I just moved it a little bit to eat and just chilled out there. It was pretty cool, though, because you have no idea who was in there all night.
They didn't know if you were part of the show.
No.
It was a real mystery.
Some of the other people at the table, Larry and Ashley, did not, of course. And
Larry could have just went as Fester. I mean, he's halfway
there. There were people there with bald caps on, and it's like, dude, this could have been you.
Dude, that would have been so easy for him.
Been so easy. Mm.
I knew it was you instantly. I was like, oh, this is just Corbin with a little bit more hair than usual.
Remember that guy was asking, he's like, that beard's not real. And I'm like, it's real. Like, do you want to touch it?
The beard is the realest part of this costume.
Right.
So then two of my other favorites were always, I love a good Where's Waldo costume.
Yeah,
and then there was a Carmen Sandiego, which I don't think I've seen that one before.
She killed it. That was definitely a good
Where
one.
In the world?
Yeah, and then Kyle showed up as a single banana, not a bunch of bananas,
oh, just one.
A single banana.
Lucy.
So you should have wore to the Olympics and ran around the Congo.
Yeah.
Tent.
Dude, people love that shit. I don't even know,
the
I
banana?
Went to, hand out candy, and I was like, I'm gonna run. People were like, banana man! I'm like...
They all probably thought you were Peely from Fortnite.
I have no idea.
You do the Peely dance?
Are you into this band or something? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sure.
Max got the new Lego catalog, and I had no clue what that was, and there's a Lego set of that banana in there.
We were in Columbus this weekend and stopped by the Lego store, and that Lego is creepy because it's like half banana and then half skeleton. It's I've had a lot of bananas in my life, and I've never bit into one and been like, oh, man, got a bone in my teeth.
Got
or
that
whatever.
Skeleton bone.
Yeah, that would be, that doesn't seem good.
Banana I don't even bones. Like bananas.
What?
No.
Do you like them in any form? Like banana bread?
Yeah. Or like a dried chip. Like a banana chip.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
I'm not down on just eating a banana. It's not like...
Why? You just don't like the flavor, the texture?
Is it
none of it.
Is it the shape? That's where I was going here.
No, I love the shape of a penis.
I didn't ask. Okay. So it's just you just don't like the texture or something, I guess. All right.
So anyway, next upcoming event will be Hoover Pinball League in North Canton, Ohio, Sunday, November 10th, starting at 3 p.m. We'll be launching Corbin's X-Men Premium over there. So
we're taking it to Wednesday, too. This Wednesday to Unhitched.
So Wednesday will be November the 13th.
Probably tomorrow from when you guys are listening to this.
Yeah, 6th. Right?
Sixth. Yeah, Wednesday.
Sixth. 13th is next week. Yes, the 6th.
It's Monday the 4th, and then we have to vote about some bullshit tomorrow. And then
Wednesday. Kids don't have school tomorrow.
So Wednesday, November 6th, we'll have it in Hitched Brewing Company. And then the following Sunday, which is the 10th, it'll be at the Hoover Pinball.
It's not like they have to go vote.
What time is their lunch party?
Go to school.
Three. Are you going to go play?
I'll probably play. You always threaten to come, and then you always
think maybe I should actually do it this time.
Fail me.
Is it on Sunday?
It is on Sunday. Kyle should come too.
Is it a BYOB thing? Or?
Yes, you can bring in your own adult beverages. Yeah. Just be, you know,
discreet and respectful.
Just respectful. Have a piece of, you know, Mike doesn't care. All right, let's move into the main topic of the episode tonight. One that I've been pushing for a while, and finally you guys have relented and are allowing me to have the...
He acts so abused.
He does. I'll show you guys the bruises.
He wasn't allowed to nap today.
Oh my gosh.
You give a guy one bruise one time, and then...
You guys have no idea how hard these all-dayers are on my body.
No fucking naps again.
Not a single nap.
Why don't you let him a nap in this afternoon. Don't let him fool you.
Shark nap?
I got home and I had to start cooking dinner. Like, it was a whole thing.
That's your business.
It was my business.
Man, he's got you cooking dinner now.
That's you.
I know. Priorities.
He had to cook my dinner first.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So,
was it ham steak today?
Spamburger hamburger. Underappreciated pinball designer. So, whatever your definition of that is, maybe a pinball designer that you don't hear people talk about a lot when they say, oh, this is my Mount Rushmore of designers. These are people that kind of slip through the cracks. You know, it seems like a lot of the hot names right now, obviously, George Gomez has a lot of classics, Steve Ritchie, Keith Elwin, you know, Brian Eddy, Pat Lawler. Like, these are all designers.
Household names.
Family names.
Definitely household names. I think these are ones that, you know, by and large, when people say great designers, those are the ones that roll off the tongue first. So I made a list for me of three that I feel are underappreciated and have made some epic games. So if you guys don't mind, I'll start off with my first.
Okay, what do you got?
So my first is Scott DeNisi. I think that for the three games that I know of that he's designed, two of them are just absolute bangers for me. So,
see, I don't consider him underrated at all. I consider him like top rated.
So I consider him top rated. Well,
top rated.
It's underrated slash underappreciated, though.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah, I think, you know, in our circle, he's at, you know, at the top and someone that we would talk about often. But I think in general, when you ask someone like, who are on your Mount Rushmore of designers, not going to get many people who are going to say Scott DeNisi.
I guess the games that we're also talking about that we're such fans of are kind of as around as they are for us, because we all have TNA everywhere. And then Rick and Morty around that goes around. It they're very around, but I don't think that's normal. And I think maybe that's partially part of the challenge.
Yeah,
but
he's not designed for Stern, so he's not had a game that.
Do you think he ever would?
I think he's so. Kyle and I were having a little bit of this conversation around Pinball Olympics when I said I'm surprised that he's not had more things. And he's like, well, Scott DeNisi is into DJing and he's into this and he's into retro culture and everything else. To where pinball is a part of who he is and what he does, but I don't think it's the defining thing for him.
If you think about TNA, it was just a homebrew originally, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what the newer generation of stuff's going to be, and it's going to be really good because of it.
You're not going to have any of those restrictions or shackles or chains that are saying, hey, you have to do these things within this build of materials. It's, okay, I'm building this homebrew, and then someone's like, oh, yeah, we need to produce that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, just like the Borderlands 2 thing that we saw at Expo. I mean, if someone doesn't use that idea somehow in a commercially built game, it'll be a huge missed opportunity, because I think that could be a game changer if that shows up at a Family Fun Center or a Dave and Buster's of something for someone to play that as the first pinball machine they've played in 20 years, like, it would blow their minds. And it's more than just a novelty. There were aspects of it that were just so cool to me. So Scott DeNisi's my first underappreciated, underrated designer that I'd love to see more games from him. And if he, chooses to do that, I would definitely be at the front of the line.
Absolutely.
To
100%
purchase and or at least put some serious coinage into one of his games.
Agreed.
So, Corbin, do you have...
Yeah, I'll go with the first one I'm going to say is Mark Ritchie. I think Steve Ritchie gets the Mark spotlight Ritchie, a lot. And, you know, Steve's good too, but I think Mark has done a ton of games. Because he also had a time like where he was at Capcom for a minute. Like,
yep.
Mark also has made like a serious list of games all the way up to now. You know, he's still around. He's a random guy to talk to.
Look at Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction is so good.
See, that's like, another person like I wouldn't consider like underrated. Like, I don't know.
I'm not saying underrated. I just feel like you don't ever. He's just a real casual guy.
Underappreciated.
And because even like the casualness, like when you see him at like, he's just hanging out at Penbrew, you know, like real casually.
Well, I don't have as many as I used to down here, but I still have Taxi.
I mean, I'm scrolling through his list of games, and it's just like,
oh, an Earthshaker.
Damn, dude, like the guy's made some games.
He's part of Big Guns.
And it was interesting talking to him at this last Pinbrew, and he was saying that he had two more designs already basically done and in the bag for future Play Mechanics releases. Yeah. So that's super interesting to me to know that Pulp Fiction wasn't just a one-off, you know, a quick little return. Like, no. This is going to be a regular thing for him.
Which is fine with me. I'll be curious to see if you think he's going to keep doing single level play fields or you think he's going to mix it up.
I think that Pulp Fiction was a request of the licensor that that's what they wanted. They wanted so a retro.
Yeah, it might not be.
Right. Like Breakshot. I mean, that's single level. Well, he wasn't full on it, but it's his with thanks to on it with him.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, Indiana Jones Pinball Adventure is a loaded game. It's a wide body. I mean, there's everything going on that game. So he can do anything from your most loaded game. I mean, Indiana Jones Pinball Adventure is basically on the same level as Twilight Zone in terms of everything that's on the game of what's going on there. So he can pack a game or he can do a single level, you know, sort of situation like Pulp Fiction.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just scrolling through a little bit now looking at some of his designs and... The interesting thing here is him and his... I didn't realize Mark Ritchie did so many call-outs on games. And it's talking about on here, he did call-outs on Taxi, Big Gun, Tomcat.
They just recruited whoever's having a
spot. Yeah, whoever was out in the office.
Hey, man, you want to do this?
Earthshaker, Police Force, Elvira, the Party Python, Monsters. So
like,
yeah.
Like they
ride a pinbot.
I feel like he probably has some interesting stories. He might be somebody who we could talk to.
Yeah. Oh, he would cop on here without a doubt.
I said we'd talk to him at Expo.
Pinbrew. We can take the board with us, and I'm sure he'd sit down for 15, 20 minutes and shoot the breeze. No, that would be... I just wonder, like, to be someone that does call-outs in pinball, do you have to smoke a lot of cigarettes to get that gravelly voice? Man. Is that part of it?
Yeah, I don't know if people have realized it yet, but Steve Ritchie actually just did call-outs on a game that a company that a lot of people know about, you know, Stern X-Men.
All right.
He did some call-outs on that, so little known fact.
Yeah, Mark Ritchie, I think he is one that's underappreciated because his brother is considered on the Mount Rushmore, so people tend to forget about him.
Yeah.
Who do you have, Zach?
I don't know.
So what do you have down here?
Mark Ritchie.
You've got Mark Ritchie down here. You've got Funhouse is a Lawler.
Do you think Python's underappreciated, or do you think he just hits a lot of random like shade because of you know, how kind of he was out there and he kind of was hard to get along with or whatever?
He had so many System 11s and this one after another.
I think you just look at some of his stuff, not just the artwork, but like a Pinbot, Bride of Pinbot, that sort of thing. It's literally like developing a character within pinball before licenses that people gravitated to and latched on to. So I think a lot of what he does has been fantastic. But to answer the question of, you know, is he underappreciated? I think that people by and large do tend to look at him just as this, you know, creator, this crazy mad scientist out there. Yeah, you know, you can never really pin him down to get him to, you know, work a normal schedule or anything else. But in reality, like, you and I have had the conversations of musicians and actors and whatever. Like, truly creative people don't work 9 to 5.
You don't 9 to 5 those people. No, not at all.
It's just not reality. It's not something that can be, you know, expected of a personality like that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kyle?
I'm going to go Brian Hansen.
Oh, what are some Brian Hansen games? I'm not sure I'm familiar.
There might be one sitting here.
Odds are decent.
What's that?
Odds are decent.
The odds are decent.
Brian Hansen.
Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of familiar.
But... So who is he designed for?
This little company called Capcom.
Oh!
So Flipper Football?
So Flipper Football and Pinball Magic.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And Pinball Magic's always been one of my favorite layouts of any game.
Like, so what all... Did he only work at Capcom?
Yeah. And then Zingy Bingy. And that's it.
Wow. Zingy Bingy.
Yep.
And I agree with you on Pinball Magic. So the first time that I went to rack it up and Pinball Magic was there and I played it, I absolutely loved it more than Theater of Magic. I thought it was the superior version.
So before I even knew Corbin or any of you guys, obviously, I was like, oh, this game's going to be there. And I went and it was fucking broken.
No.
It had only been there for like a couple hours. I think your dad came and fixed it while I was sitting there having a beer or something, but...
Yeah, that's a game for me the first time that I played it. It's like the mechs on this. Yeah, because
they
even
they give him co-design with Python on Flipper Football.
Okay.
Very cool.
Interesting. That's a wild
And then another guy that is co-designed on Pinball Magic is Rob Hurtado. Hurtado?
Has he done anything else?
Okay. Yeah, I would say Hurtado.
Hurtado? South Park, Viper Night Driving, X-Files, Lost World, Jurassic Park, Independence Day. GoldenEye, Apollo 13, Pinball Magic.
So he's on design on all of those or co-design?
Mechanics. And some game design. Like X-Files. So
Capcom to Sega. That's an interesting one.
And everybody at this table knows that I'm a sucker for those.
God, I wish I would have kept that Segas. Fucking GoldenEye. That GoldenEye was so clean. It was. It had no crotch burn.
Zero. The thing that was frustrating with that one is we barely had it working for our tour because it kept fighting us with.
It was just the DMD, right?
The DMD.
The one chip that was the driver off the board then.
Everything else in that game worked perfect.
Oh, perfectly, yeah. But the DMD just would freak out on it sometimes. So.
Yeah.
I remember I was shopping that, and I'm like, oh, shit, there's a fucking magnet right here that's never been on, ever.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's why I didn't have a crossbar.
Yeah, whoever bought a new turned that off, and it was great.
Yeah.
There's so many great, those Sega eras.
I want an Apollo 13, though, kind of.
Apollo 13 would be sweet. The Viper game would be
fun. I mean, I've always wanted one, but now I'm like.
No, Apollo 13's a showstopper on location because of the 13-ball multi-ball, like everyone.
Yeah, like Independence Day is Rob Hurtado, game design and mechanics.
Wow. And that's a cool one.
Yeah.
So he was out after Sega, though?
Nothing past Sega.
Okay.
I'm going to have to mark that name down and do a little bit of research.
I mean, Lost World's obviously Borg, but he's...
Mechanics
with Borg. So he
did some cool stuff, then. Some of those games you named have some cool mechs on them.
Oh, without a doubt.
Apollo 13 mechanics.
I'll have to see if he's on social media or somewhere active and try to get in touch because I'd love to talk about that Sega era.
I would love to hear
that. That would be a very interesting feature episode.
Yeah.
So Night Driving, the concept was by Joe Kamikow, but the game design was by Rob Hurtado.
Joe Kamikow is kind of a wild
He's
card.
He's on everything.
I feel like you don't hear... I mean, you do, I guess, hear his name sometimes. But.
Software. John Norris.
And
Lonnie Rapp.
John Norris is on my list of underappreciated designers because people just seem to sleep on that era of Gottlieb for whatever reason, whatever their reasons may be, because Williams was... you know, the top dog at the time or whatever people's perspectives are. But John Norris, in terms of design, you know, coding on a budget and everything else that we've talked about, I mean, some of those games that he's done, Waterworld, Stargate, Gladiators, RoboWars is one of my favorites. And then my son, you know, wanted me to mention for sure that Super Mario Bros. Was one that he worked on. Like, for me, all of those games are just cool. They're ones that, you know, he just knocked out of the park, and definitely wanted to shout out John Norris on this because
agreed.
I think that
Mario Bros. Is real fun, too.
I actually
played for two and a half hours at a bar in St. Louis somewhere.
Whenever we had talked about this is what we were doing, he was one that I had thought of. I was like, I guess we already kind of gave him some love, but I agree that he... He still is not.
I just think he's underappreciated.
It's the era. Some of those games from that era, just like even similar to the Sega games, like we were talking about this last guy, like they came and went so quick and there's such low numbers that those guys didn't have a chance. If they were designing 10 years earlier or 10 years later, they might, who knows what the story would be.
Because some of the designers are best known for, like Steve Ritchie, people know him for the Black Knight series. And it's if those games weren't around at peaks and they were in valleys instead, maybe he would be underappreciated.
A lot of time could be right time, right place with some of these.
Oh, with a lot of things, yeah. Not just pinball.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Round back again, though. GoldenEye is only 700 production.
Really?
That's it?
Yeah.
Really surprised me.
I feel like I see that game more than a game that was produced for only 700 units.
Oh, 700
units. Oh, I believe it. I just know that I've personally seen...
Lost World, 600. I mean, there's an egg on there that isn't in the fucking movie, so...
How many Twisters did they make, does it say?
Twisters?
Twister.
Yeah, it's in that Sega era.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going...
People I'm love that guy. Thing.
Okay. Anyway, the next... I have another one
here. Yeah.
So, John Norris, though, definitely. His name was Dan Langolis.
Mm.
So, he was game design on some of the games, such as Strange Science, which, dude, that's your man right
that's
there.
That's my guy.
That's your
but
game,
no, he Dad. Did. So, list some of his games here. We're Thousand looking at Corbin. Gilligan's Island, Radical, Bally Game Show, Radical. Truck Stop.
Nice.
Ramp Warrior. This is this late. He's was like a late 80s designer.
Ramp Warrior. Yeah.
Escape from Lost World. Mary Beth loves that one.
Is
that
Road Kings? Yeah. Heavy Metal Meltdown. Strange Science. Black Belt. Karate Fight. Hot Shots. Canceled. No, a couple of these were canceled. Anyway, but no, I just like he had some cool random games from a random time, and then that was it. Then it's just like these guys who worked in it for like was in it for maybe almost under 10 years. And then do they just decide, like...
That's what makes you wonder is...
Because those were cool games. Like, there was cool mechs on there. There was cool features on some of those games. Strange Science, I mean, I know you have a love for that.
Even Heavy Metal Meltdown, it's like, cool while it's a simple game, it's easy to walk up to, understand what the objectives are, what you need to do.
Lost World's cool, too. Escape from Lost World is. So, just wonder what they do now, you know?
Well, that's the thing, is, like, you do pinball design for 10 years, and then what?
You go into toy design, or you go into...
Or do you just become an accountant after that? Like,
just get a job by your house. I mean, like, what's the what's the next thing you do?
They were hiring nearby.
Like, well, but I don't know. So it would be like the early 90s he got out of that. Maybe he got into like beepers or I don't know something.
So talking about toy design, towers. When we were at Pinball Expo, one of the vendor tables, the guy had two of the George Gomez toy designs. Did you?
Yeah. The Rock'em Sock'em Monster Trucks.
The Nudge guys, they were out there.
The Rock'em Sock'em Monster Trucks was phenomenal.
It was pretty
me.
Sweet.
It was pretty cool.
So it was basically you had two small remote control almost toy trucks that... Yeah. Had body parts that would blow off based on how hard the other truck
like
hit
the fenders
you.
Or head to head or whatever. Yeah,
I thought that was really, really cool. And they had it not just sitting there in the box for people to look at the box and appreciate, but they actually had the toys set up to where you could play them, experience them the whole nine yards. So I thought that was pretty neat to see, you know, George Gomez, video game designer, George Gomez, toy designer, George Gomez, pinball designer. It's like, wow, that guy has really run the full gamut of
done it all, man.
Creativity. So my third and final underappreciated pinball designer is Ward Pemberton. Mm. So Sega GoldenEye he was involved in, the original Bally Fathom, System 11 Mousing Around, and then two that have very similar mechs for Bally back in the day, Hard Body with the Flex Save and Dungeons and Dragons with the Magic Save. So you look at Fathom, I think that's considered by many to be one of like the all-time like great classic layouts, to the point where Haggis said, oh, we need to remake this game because there's such a desire and want and need for this game out there. But I just look at those four or five titles by themselves, and they're all completely different, eras, different systems, different companies, all of that fun stuff. So he's one that, you know, I was aware of because of Fathom and GoldenEye, but as I started to click through and see some of the other stuff that he was involved with, definitely one that isn't at the tip of people's tongues whenever they're talking about great designers, but... When you break down each one of those games, I think you can see components within those that then other designers used in their future games.
I think that's kind of the interesting thing, too, about, like, designing pinball at this point, that there's so much, like, you know, they say, like, oh, this is new, that is new. It's like, at the end of the day, like, so much, like, you go back to some of these EMs.
Go back to the EMs,
you can find most mechs and features that you know, are being used today. It's just interesting. It's all just being reused in different ways and somebody's new spin on it.
I think that's
how many games did Harry Williams design? Like 1,700 or something.
It was some obscene amount. Where it was like, how many per year are you doing?
He was just a robot.
I think that's one of the interesting things about Jack Danger is he's fully transparent and willing to go back and look at these games from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, 60s.
Yeah, and you can see some of the interesting uses of different mechs.
Yeah, the different mechs, even with X-Men to say, okay, we're going to offset these flippers and try this. It's like...
I like it. In the Danger Room, so good.
Oh, it's...
It's more fun than Upper Playfield to me.
I agree.
It's right in your face.
It's super easy to get into.
It's
also
right in your face. Yeah. It's not back there where you don't, I don't appreciate it usually up there. So.
Well, I like how there are different ways, multiple ways to get into it and multiple ways to get out of it. It's not like an Upper Playfield where you have to hit that ramp to get into it. That's the only way. Yeah.
Be quick with that flipper up there. You're going to miss it.
Yeah. And then it's back out of there where it's like, okay, oh my gosh, I'm in the Danger Room during multi-ball. It's
you can play a little bit in there. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm. I haven't tested it yet. Are you able to stage flip with that left flipper to like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you?
Okay, absolutely. I just haven't tried.
That would be cool.
Stage flip.
I'm gonna have to mess around with that a little bit. But that's what I love about some of the current designers.
You can definitely be cradling a ball on that left flipper and be in the Danger Room.
That's very, very cool. Oh yeah, obviously. But some of the stuff where people are taking things from the past and bringing them back around, and Stern is successful enough at this point to where they're willing to take a chance on, hey, we're not going to just do a traditional cookie cutter design. We're going to put this game out there and, you know, hopefully people love it. And to this point with X-Men, it's been, you know, rave reviews and people enjoying. And then we've been hearing from other locations and operators that the game is also earning well on location, which means that there's a lot of interest in the game of people wanting to get out there and try it.
Yeah. Ooh, talking about events, too. Talking about X-Men, I'm just saying while you're talking about people playing X-Men, we forgot to mention Quarter Up's launch party.
Yeah, when is that?
25th of November.
So,
2024.
November 25th, 2024, 7 p.m., again, costumes and courage. You need to come down as your best Gambit, Cyclops,
Wolverine. Is that right before Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That'll be the Monday before Thanksgiving. So interesting. If you're back in town visiting family, I know...
not to interrupt the conversation.
No, I think that's perfectly in point of what we were talking about. I know our friends from Arizona, the Lazars, are going to be back in town for the holidays. So
Lazars are back in town.
Visiting the Quarter Up since they're from the area. And then when we were up for the... the Halloween party, I think we were starting to have some early conversations with the cooks about getting over to the Cookcade and checking out their games.
I know that he's got some games stashed away down there.
He's got some stuff, and he was talking about an expansion, so good times there.
Definitely.
Who do you have next, Kyle?
So it's not somebody that's necessarily underrated in pinball, but maybe as a designer, Roger Sharp. I'm going to go with Roger Sharp.
So I was a little disappointed. I went into, he was part of a trio of a licensing panel at Expo, and I only got to stay for about a half hour of it because then I had that other obligation with you two gentlemen that we needed to get to. But they were starting to talk about the early days of licensing and all of that stuff. So talk about some of the games that...
Well, I mean,
sure. Because you kind of forget that he, you know...
actually designed a few games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sharpshooter, that's not a bad game at all.
I've played that at Cleepin before.
You know, 79. Barakoa.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good game.
I love that game.
It's a fun game. Sharpshooter 2 and Cyclops, which I think I've only played at VFW, which is a very interesting game as well.
It is. It is.
So I think for the era, they're definitely intriguing games.
So he did what? Were they all with Game Plan? Was that who he designed for?
Yeah.
So random.
Well, Barakoa is Williams, but
right. So that one, randomly, we were flying out of Orlando, and we had some time to kill before we had to get to the airport.
But also co-designed with Barry Osler,
okay,
and Steve Epstein.
Wow.
So
we ended up at this random family fun center that had like a huge pinball alley, and they had a Barracuda, and I was just like, wow, this is random. Like, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, because it's like all these Stern LEs, and
somebody's like, throw the Barracuda down.
Yeah, there. And at that point, they had a row of every single Jersey Jack game that had been made, and then over here, there was a Barracuda over by the
was
new.
Was there anything like 90s or anything?
Just not in that track? Area, but out in the outer part, there was a probably game. Earned. There was a game show. There was a WWF Royal Rumble. There were some random things for like a high volume. I mean, this was essentially like a Dave and Buster's, but had axe throwing and
pinballs, apparently.
All kinds of crazy stuff. The place where you could go and do karaoke. It was literally anything that you wanted to do, this place would do it.
Sounds wild.
But yeah, that was my first real memory of putting like multiple games on a Barracuda. I was like, holy cow, this game is actually gorgeous and really fun.
And they also credit him for co-concept with Sam Stern on Stingray. Even though game design's Mike Kubin, I think he did all of the Stern Electronic games. But
Stern Electronics are an interesting one to me, to where for a long time those were like 500.
Yeah, Sea Witch, Magic, Trident, Nugent.
Right.
Memory Lane.
Those were $500 games for so long.
They were $500 games forever, or parts games. Right.
Every time.
And then COVID.
But you can just put one of those Covenant Bally Williams boards in there.
You know how many times you find them and they have like the Sterns will have Bally boards. Bally's will have the Stern boards. And I mean, they're 100% interchangeable.
Of course.
How could that possibly happen? They must have just had the same idea at the same time. Yeah.
For sure.
A vision.
But those came back up in COVID times where prices came up. And then in addition to that, then in the tournament scene, I think people have then started to appreciate what they are for the layouts and the scoring and everything else.
I always play that row down when we're up in VFW. They're always fun to play.
Oh, I always have a good time on them. I mean, even something as simple as like Nugent, it's like I just will walk up to it and have a good time.
Isn't that Orbit up there too? That one's fun with that crazy play field.
I'm about to bring Nugent over to your house. I didn't know you liked Nugent.
Need it with your custom backlash.
Custom.
You want the custom glass?
One of one.
That's right. The hand painted. I need to see that with lights behind it.
Prototype.
Sure, I'll light it up. It's nice. It's color matched. Don't worry. It's
color. Did Corbin do it in fifth grade or something? Yeah.
I think it came with the game.
Oh my God, I got to see it.
Oh, it's pretty special, let me tell you.
You did a good job, dude.
Honestly, it's not the worst.
It could be worse.
It could be worse.
I think it's
could be better, but dude,
I don't know. I think you guys are hyping it up way too much.
It's better than what I could do.
I'm overselling it, or am I underselling it, or am I just selling it?
Corbin comes back over and it's sold.
It's gone. Sorry. This was some folk art that people were excited about.
Yeah. So you gave $20 for the game. So
yeah. All right, so we talked events, we talked some underappreciated designers. Fair listeners, if you have a favorite designer, if they designed one game that you absolutely love or a handful of games, email Zach. Who should they email?
Freshpinball@gmail.com.
Let us know who some of those designers are, and we'll shout them out on the next episode. It could be the next season. Who knows? It could be. Yeah,
could be next season.
You could be featured on the season premiere of season 4. So let us know.
Or the season premiere. We don't know.
It could be. It could be.
I think next season should just be one fucking episode and then it gets the next season after.
We have to make it a really good episode.
Can't we?
No, it's going to be like the worst one ever.
Can't we do like the Electric Bat and do like episode 0.9? Point then
1.985?
We can do partial decimal pointed episodes. That way the first episode is actually not the first episode. It's not episode 1.
It's getting too confusing.
We'll just name like Spooky Code, whatever the date is.
Can we do like a throwback to where we do negative season 1 and it's like actually takes place before our first episode that we ever recorded?
We don't even know each other.
It's our past selves.
The prequels.
Yeah.
It's just
there you go, the prequels. That was the word I couldn't think of.
It's just Corbin and Zach playing flipper football without us.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Like who are these assholes over
here? We don't
need
these guys.
I don't even understand. That guy, Nintendo cabs.
Why are there stickers on the games? People know whose they are.
So bizarre. All right, so we're approaching the hour mark here. So if you gentlemen are ready, we might make the circle around here for final thoughts. Mr. Corbin Angeli, to my left.
I want
to
go last.
You want to go last? Okay.
Yeah.
Kyle, you have to go first now because Corbin wants to go last.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Any final thoughts here, buddy, about anything we've talked about? Anything that you've been having going on?
I like X-Men. I have to put that out there. I'm going to play another game or two before I go home tonight.
I could see you vibing on it immediately and rolling it around in your head of like, how heavily routed does this game have to become before
it can
come to my basement?
Oh, I told Corbin it'll be mine. I'll get it in 2 years. I'll get it in 2 years when he's routed in and
gets an LE.
Yeah, he trains in an LE. Yeah. Seems like a good symbiotic relationship.
Dude, it honestly does.
Yeah. Then you can come visit your premium.
We need to get some more games into your basement. Ultraman, Rick and Morty.
I want to bring some. Bring some roller coaster stuff over.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
With whatever else too, Rick or Ultraman, whatever we.
Whatever there's room for. Because Ultraman's already broken down, so it can just be carted right down.
I don't know if I can pull TNA from Jeffrey's.
No, TNA can stay. I want America's Most Haunted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's already out, too. So
yeah, it's already out, so that's going to come over to me after it leaves quarter up.
Yep.
But we've had some interesting stuck ball or lost ball issues on America's Most Haunted since
really?
It's been up there.
I'm so surprised.
So we had one that fell into the cabinet.
Yeah, and so the thing is, when I got up there, I couldn't get it to do it again. Like, there was no area that I could find. Where does it go? It goes to, like,
it's, like, under the apron.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like foam. There.
I saw the foam wedged in there.
Yeah,
so I just left it.
Yeah, that's what it's for. I think
we'll run and see what happens.
And then what? There's the stuck ball that once the ball starts to get magnetized, it'll grab onto that post up
and
by
threw
the.
In the
oh yeah,
other
hopefully
balls.
That should help. That. Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you hit the right ramp to go to the elevator,
just because you never hit it hard enough.
I agree.
I've never had it happen to me
play
one
better.
Time.
They need to play better.
It's hurtful.
It's going good though. I mean, just balls getting stuck.
Yeah.
But.
No, people are obviously playing.
People were very excited about it.
I mean, for an early production game, I mean, it plays pretty good.
No, and that was the big thing we were getting on. We were up there Monday. We had so many people tell us, like, how they couldn't believe how good that game was shooting.
Yes. Yes, without a doubt.
Thanks to you, like, Dave. I mean, it only has...
approaching 70,000 players?
Yeah, about 70,000 players.
It's insane.
And not a dimple on the playing field.
I just love looking at these companies' first games. You know what I mean? Just
Ninja Eclipse, America's Most Haunted.
Yeah. What was
the thing about
Factory.
Wizard of Oz?
Oh, for real, Wizard
Honey
of
Factory,
Oz.
Factory, yeah.
Honey Factory.
What was America's
We've only had to put nail
game.
Polish on that playfield once.
Would have been Houdini.
Houdini, okay. That's not a bad...
No, I mean, that's...
bringing to the showing.
It's a game
that
I appreciate.
Other than being a fucking snooze fest, it's not that bad.
It's just hard.
They still make it?
So that's the interesting thing is this run that they're doing right now is the last run that they're ever going to build of it.
And Legends of Valhalla too,
you
right?
You get it used cheap, right?
Oh, yeah. Retiring that. They're retiring Valhalla.
We already have two Valhallas.
Already retired
Oktoberfest.
So.
Let's see who will trade us a Houdini for a Valhalla.
I think they're going to be streamlining what they're producing, so they're not going to have all of these just kind of hodgepodge parts for all these different era games sitting around.
They got all those... their irons in the fire on Cupheads.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what comes next, what the reaction of the community is on it, you know, what the sales look like, all of those things. Mm. I know from an operator perspective.
I think Whitewater 2 would have.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus, so, what a missed opportunity.
So what were the... Somebody kept calling it something that wasn't Whitewater 2. Yukon Yeti or
something.
Something.
I mean,
to
who
where
cares
they could,
what it's called?
To where they
could
get around the planetary license on it and be able to put it out. And it's just out there in limbo. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird to see a game like the Barbecue Challenge or the Galactic Tank Force come out ahead of like a known entity, something that I think people would
a
gravitate
classic.
To. Honestly, like you guys are out there playing X-Men and I'm in on the game too, but in between my turn, I'm over there playing Whitewater. I'm just like, this is a top five game. Every time
absolutely.
I play it, I'm just
absolutely.
Thinking this is a top five game.
I literally can't even play that game because I'm just going to... I can't go home.
Yeah, it's so good.
I'm too addicted
just
to want to
play it.
I love that game.
It's such a good game. I go out there and have the problem of what should I play, you know?
Okay, boo-hoo.
Yeah, your row is pretty strong out there. And we've been having the great weather to where it's like perfect time to hang in the garage.
It is. It really is.
All right, Zach, you have any final thoughts here?
Just excited to go play more X-Men and probably some Whitewater in there and TNA.
Yeah, all the good.
Probably some Rick and Morty.
Finish it up. Corbin, final thoughts, buddy?
Ghostbusters.
Yes, yes.
Busted makes me feel good.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about Ghostbusters is the random facts. It's in the attract mode. It scrolls through, and it tells you random Ghostbusters movie facts.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's a lot. Like,
is there a good attract mode to turn on? Like,
sounds. The noise? I don't know. I don't know if the noises are on or off.
Does it have the screaming in attract mode, or is that just in the one mode within the game?
I only had it in the game, and it went off while people were trick-or-treating.
Isn't it insane?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you think someone's getting murdered.
Everyone was like, why is it doing that? I'm like...
Did you let the kids play it?
No, it was inside, and it was like, that's weird if you have it on the porch. People are going to be coming up on the porch and hanging out and stuff.
I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. I put out Micah's Spectrum, and people played it.
Yeah. That's cool.
How much you have it on? $0.50?
Yeah,
well, we won't talk about that.
$1.25 per
ball. $1.50.
Dollar per ball.
Yeah, no, it's just right inside the front door, so they could hear it.
I need to get over and put a few games on it before it gets sold, because the second we list that thing, it's going to be gone.
It's for sale.
But if you want to make an offer, Corbin@madpinball.com on a nice Ghostbusters Pro that's recently been cleaned up and gone through.
Yeah. So, Jeff, I mean, last words from you?
My final thought is...
I want to hit Midnight Madness on it. That's all I was going to say, too.
I can't wait.
What is it, 11?
So talk about the Midnight Madness on it.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
No, hit it, man.
It. That's why I originally started wanting to talk about Ghostbusters. Yeah, I hit it. So I hit it multiple times, and a couple of the times when I hit it, it didn't like full-on do the full shutdown thing. It just gave you like the bonus at the end. But then a couple of the other times, it did like the full shutdown for like a good couple seconds before then it started chiming.
I noticed the shoot again light is lit.
When it hits?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yep. That was it. Hit it. It's cool. That was the last one.
So it's not as definitive of a... Always is definitive of a Midnight Madness mode as some of the traditional ones where it's a full so like bang, bang, flashing.
If you're in like a multi-ball or something, it seemed like that's the time it would just... Added on, but you didn't even realize it. Aren't super aware of it because
the game is like, oh, we have all these other things.
It's kind of a little bit of a bummer because
it was like in a long gap between them. I mean, that would have been like Junkyard maybe was the last one, and then Ghostbusters in 16, and then
Monsters
a couple years later.
What's Monsters? 18, yeah.
So probably,
yeah.
I guess two. I guess not really that long. But yep, that's it.
No, my final thoughts are I can't wait to get the hell out of here so I get home and play some No Good Gophers all by myself in my...
He's tired of me.
We've had too much time. In my birthday suit, playing some No Good Gophers, figuring out how to make it through that game in the least number of strokes. Go for the hole-in-one. Hit the jump ramp. Little Duke Kaboom. Spinning
as
disc.
As many strokes as possible.
Ooh, wah, wah, wah. All right, everyone. Once again, if you're looking for new, used, pre-owned, awesome pinball, you should email Corbin@madpinball.com or Jeff@madpinball.com.
I like that Jeff's getting played out right now. It's not me.
We can get you hooked up.
That's what it feels like.
But this very well could be the season finale of season 3. What? Tune in next time.
Or couldn't.
And it might be episode 10 of season 3, or it could be the season premiere.
Episode 7, season -63.
Could be the prequel. Who knows? Who knows what you'll get? We might not even know each other the next time that we sit around this table.
We do one like before we met. It's just me talking to myself.
Thank you, and good night.
Story.